So I feel like there's other things. We always look at Lot as, well, he moved towards Sodom and he moved into sin. Well, that's true. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, tells us so. Bad idea. But I think there's a little more meaning behind it. It says, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. That's when he messed up. Between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the lamb was not able to bear them. Now, I want us to stop there, because before Abraham chose to follow his own guidance, the land was okay for him. They were all getting along. They all lived together. They were doing good. Abraham decided, well, there's a famine, I'm going to Egypt. But if you'll recall what happened to Abraham when he was in Egypt, Pharaoh gave him lots of gold and silver and cattle and said, get out of here. Because it just about cost Pharaoh his life, because he had Abraham's sister, Sarah. And if you think about it, he did. It was a half lie what he told him. He said, tell him you're my sister. Well, actually, she was his half sister. And so, but a white lie, or a little lie, or a half lie is still a lie. Either way you want to look at it. When, by not following God the way he should have, it caused a whole lot of other problems. It caused some problems that they didn't have to start with. To start with, they were all in the land and they were getting together. They were all getting along. They sit out there and watch their sheep, and their cows out there, you know, and they were having a good time. But now there became a problem. The land wasn't big enough, because they had grown because of Pharaoh helped them out. Let me add this. Be careful how much you wish for. You might get more than what you bargained. They always had this idea, man, if I was rich, if I had lots of money, whoa, what I could do for the Lord. But if I had lots of money, I done a study one time on these people that win the lotteries, and they said they didn't realize, some of them said they didn't realize how many relatives they really had until they won the lottery. It caused them issues. Every one of them that I read about said they had problems, because now their newfound riches caused them lots of issues. Most of them ended up in divorce, and the majority of them broke because of all that money. So that's not always a good thing. Anyway, let me get back to where I was at. So verse 6, and the lamb was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. For we be brethren. That was Ebonics back then. Somebody will get that later. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And he says, if thou wilt take the left hand, I'll take the right. If you take the right, I'll take the left. Now, here's something that really... That I dwelled on. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that it was what? Well watered everywhere. Well, now enlighten me on something. If you got cattle and you got sheep, wouldn't you want it well watered with lots of grass? So I don't see a lot in there that said that he started out wrong. I think he was thinking of his animals. I mean, I always thought about that when I had cattle and when I had horses. It's kind of nice to have a place that's got grass. It's got a creek running through it, so you ain't got to go out there and water them all the time. I don't see too much that was wrong with him looking at it that way. The problem was he didn't seek God's guidance. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. He wasn't waiting on God. Abraham didn't say, all right, you got to choose today and head out. Abraham just said, you choose. You let me know. If you're going to go to the left, I'll go right. If you're going right, I'll go left. But I don't see where he prayed about it. I don't ever find where he had an altar. He was one of them that hurry up and get it. You know, you ever been to Burger King or Jack in the Box and it's like it ain't fast enough? But then when you get it, you wonder why the cheese ain't melted. Did we not want it quicker than what they were giving it anyway? See, we tend to get things too fast. We don't have a wait society anymore. Our children are not in the waiting realm of things. They want it now. I order things from Amazon because I feel bad for Jeff Bezos. He ain't got near enough money, so I try to help him every chance I get. And if it ain't coming tomorrow, I get all bent out of shape. It's like, come on. And look, if I'd have wanted it that quick, I should have drove down to Walmart and got it. But, you know, I get all bent out because I want it now. But see, that's the way our society is. We want it now. Let's get it right now. That's what Lot's problem was. See, we got people in the world that way. They want it now. But then we've got people that'll kind of wait. They'll hang out and wait on the Lord and say, now, Lord, which direction do you want me to go? See, I waited on the Lord one time. I said, Lord, which direction do you want me to go? And I headed out, and I hung a left at Albuquerque, and literally I should have turned right. You didn't ask her. Because we lived miserable for a while. I didn't wait on the Lord to give me the direction. I headed out too quick. I needed to hang out a little longer at the house before it took off. I don't believe Lot took the time to really study it through, because if he had of, I think he'd have realized there is a problem in the plains, and it's called Sodom and Gomorrah. And I don't think, because I don't, listen, Lot was saved. Lot is in heaven. When you read in Peter, it'll tell you in Peter that he was a just man. And it vexed his soul daily. He didn't like what was going on, but he was wrapped up in it. And his family was wrapped up in it. He didn't take the time to see it through. He didn't take the time to seek what the Lord wanted. He just jumped. And I think that's where we mess up. Way too many times, we don't take the time to see what the Lord wants. He wanted to get after it right now. But there's people that will suffer poverty. They'll suffer hunger, indignity, shame, because of the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Let's go read that real quick. Romans chapter 8. It's in here. Romans 8 and verse 18. The Bible says, "For I reckon." You know, I always thought that was a southern word. Do you know that's an accounting word? When you look it up, it really means counting and mathematics and all that stuff. So Paul says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Listen, we may think that, hey, I should have this, I should have that. My neighbor's got a 3-car garage, I ought to be able to have a 4-car garage. You know, Tom drives a Dodge, why can't I buy a brand new Duramax? Because I don't want a $70,000 pickup. But see, we don't look at it that way. We tend to look at it, well, I ought to be able to have this. But if we'll back up and say, you know what, if the Lord wants me to have it, He'll give it to me, one way or the other. He'll allow the finances I need to get that. He'll allow me to be able to have that if that's what I need. If the Lord wants me to be a millionaire by the time I get back from my trip here in a few weeks, I'll come back as a billionaire and you guys will be thrilled to death. Because I'll give you some of it. Not a whole lot, but I'll give you some of it. Because usually when you get money, you get stingy. That's usually what happens. But there's people that in this world, they're satisfied with what they have because of what they're going to have. You see, Abraham was satisfied with, you take whatever, man. I'll take what's left. Because he knew that God was going to take care of him. See, when it was all said and done, God come to Abraham. He let Lot go do his thing. He come to Abraham and he said, "Abraham," he said, "come here, I want to show you something." He said, "As far as you can look that away, that away, that away, and that away," he said, "it's all yours. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to your people." He said, "Walk. Walk through it. Go check it out." But he didn't mix and mingle with the wrong people. You see, Abraham had an other world attitude, an other world perspective. He looked at the other world and said, "You know what? I got something a whole lot better than what they could ever offer me here." That's the way he saw it. Honestly, that's the way we ought to saw it. See, that's really what enabled Abraham to give up the well-watered lands of Jordan. Because Abraham was no doubt a smart man. It states that he had lots of cattle, lots of sheep. He had lots of gold and silver. It said Lot had some too. Abraham had a bunch. So he was a smart guy. He knew how to take care of what he had. But so I'm going to say that he had probably looked at that before and thought, "Man, that's nice down there. Wow. Got a lot of water. Got a lot of grass. I got the cows. They like grass. If you ever turn sheep on grass, they ruin it. So you want to feed your cows first." We call them range maggots in Colorado because they eat everything plus the root. But I think it enabled him to look at Lot. Because, see, he was his Lot's uncle. So, honestly, he could have said, "Lot, I'm going down here. You go off up there in that area. You know, I'll help you carry buckets of water, but you go on up there." He didn't do that. He allowed him to have what he had because he knew what the Lord had for him was a whole lot better than what he could choose. That he knew that God had something better for him later on. See, we need to in our life, especially these young people, do not jump at the first look at me. Hey, pay attention to me. You two pay attention. You're the youngest ones in here, you four. Well,
the ones that can understand what I'm going to say. One of these days, believe it or not, there's some little boy going to take a liking to you. Don't jump without the Lord saying so. Wait till later on, because it'll mean a whole lot more later on. See, you want to jump for the first little twerp that comes up? I got news for you. I was one of them twerps. I lie to you. Boys will lie to you. Oh, I love you. They'll lie to you. You ask God to send you who you are supposed to have and wait on Him. And I would say that for little boys, wait till the girl comes along, but there ain't none in there.
You got, if you don't wait on God, you're going to be like what Lot had. Lot got a whole lot more than what he bargained for. And it cost him dearly. We won't get into all it cost him. So the Lord told him, he said, look everywhere, all of it. I'm giving it to you. And they're still fighting over it. God promised Abraham a bunch. Look at verse 16. He said, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. You know, every time we hear the name Abraham, and every time we see Israel in the news, every time you see a Jew, you know that God keeps His promise. Because He made that promise to Abraham. So, that's an outlook that many people, honestly, they can't understand. I got offered a job. And it was a temptation is what it was, that the guy knew what he was doing, and I started to slap him for it, but he's a friend of mine. But I got offered a job before I really got out of school, when I was looking, waiting for the Lord to give me a church, and he offered me a job right when I was about to graduate. And making big money. And I'm like, surely I could do that for about a year. I mean, it'd be a couple hundred thousand dollars for about a year. Maybe I ought to. But the Lord's like, what, are you stupid? I mean, I already had a lot of scars. and it was like, do I need any more? honestly, it's those little temptations that come along. I'm backing up. I'm like, nah. If the Lord wants me to have it, He'll send me to a church that pays that much. The Lord takes care of me however I need to. You see, some people go for it all 9-0. Sometimes we need to back up and say, wait a second. What's the Lord trying to tell me? I need to wait on Him. Because if we don't wait on Him, honestly, we can be in that shape of Lot. Because it says Lot lived there day by day, night by night, and the sins of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah vexed his soul. In other words, it grieved him to the point that he finally lost all of his children and his wife, all but two daughters. That's all he came out of Sodom with. All over it, all started with, well, yeah, that looks good for my cows. But he never asked God about it. And too many marriages, they end because it's kind of like Walmart. I don't want this, so you take it back. Oh, I'll use Amazon. Amazon will send me something. If I don't like it, I can send it back. Don't cost a thing. Too many people look at marriage that way. Now, I do realize you can't always make it happen. But too many people are willing to give up too quick. You need to be like Abraham, and honestly wait on the Lord. Amen.